Welcome to Opening the Door Podcast. Join me as we unlock the door to our psychic, intuitive, and mediumship abilities. Come along as we explore how to get in touch with our intuition, expand our mediumship, and open plenty of other doors to every aspect of spirituality, consciousness, and magic along the way. Hey, key holder. Opening the Door Podcast is back, and I'm calling you a key holder from here on out because you hold the key to your intuition. For those of you who don't follow me on Instagram and you've maybe just been wondering where the podcast has been the past 3 weeks, basically the short story is I use Spotify for podcasters to get this podcast out into the world, and a lot of stuff changed on the back end. I lost my little opening the door sounds and sound effects, and it's basically just been 3 weeks of procrastination for me to get back on the horse and get this done. So I am back. I am happy to be back. I'm really happy to be sharing a lot of really fun upcoming episodes with you, including this one today with Heather Waxman. So today you'll hear a conversation I had with Heather about co-creating with the universe. And I just love this episode. I think you will love it too. If you're just jumping into the podcast recently, I also had Heather on episode 38. That episode was about breath work, and that is such a good one in general. But if you also want to hear more about Heather's spiritual journey specifically, that is the episode to listen to for that information. Heather shares so much insight and wisdom about manifesting and co-creating with the universe, and I just absolutely love it. It's just such a juicy episode. So if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you will probably have noticed that I have had a decent amount of repeat guests on. And that is because so many of the guests that I have on just have such a wealth of wisdom and knowledge and info to share. And I think it's so fun to have people back on that you as listeners enjoy listening to so that they can keep sharing their knowledge with you. Because so many people I have on the podcast have so much more knowledge than just one episode. So I always love having repeat guests on. I hope that you also love hearing, you know, familiar voices. In this episode, you will hear the word God used, and I just wanted to note that because I think, like, sometimes depending on where you are in your spiritual journey, the word God, and if you're deconstructing a organized religion, that word might feel heavy or just might not resonate. And I just want to invite you to replace that word with whatever you want to replace it with. God really resonates with some people. For me, it's the universe. For other people, it's spirit. Just use whatever word you want to use, because we're really all talking about the same thing here. Outside of organized religion, I mean. Also, in this episode, you will sort of hear me allude and chat with Heather about how sometimes I zoom out of my life and I just feel like nothing matters. And I feel like when I was listening to that part back, it almost made it sound like I was saying, like, nothing that happens in this world matters. And I actually think it's quite the opposite. I think tons of things matter. I think human rights matter. I think equal rights matter. LGBTQ rights matter. All of these things, these big things, they really matter. And what I was really referring to in that moment was, you know, let's just say, like, somebody cuts me off in traffic on the way to work. That really makes me mad. And so I'm, like, stewing in that. In, like, an hour, is that even going to matter? Not really. So when I'm having that little short part of the conversation with Heather, I just want you to know that I'm not talking about, like, big world issues when I say nothing matters. I'm just talking about, like, random little day-to-day things that we feel like matter for some reason, but, like, maybe if we zoom out, they don't. So I hope that's okay explained enough. If you feel like you want to talk to me about it more, that's totally fine. Send me a message or an email. Enjoy the episode, and remember, don't be afraid to open your door. Today, we're welcoming back Heather to Opening the Door. Heather Waxman is a therapist, breathwork facilitator, and author of Your True Nature Oracle. She earned her master's degree in marriage and family therapy from Fairfield University. Through an artful and dynamic blend of therapeutic support, spiritual counsel, and somatic practices, Heather supports individuals, couples, and families navigating major life transitions, seasons of change, and cycles of death and rebirth to come home to their true nature. She works with people one-on-one, both in person and virtually, through her private coaching practice, in groups or through her community breathwork ceremonies, and works part-time as a therapist at Causeway Collaborative in Westport, Connecticut. Heather, welcome back to Opening the Door.
Thank you so much for having me, Haley. I'm so grateful.
I am so happy to have you back. So for anybody listening who sort of jumped into the podcast more recently, and you haven't sort of gone through the backlog of episodes, Heather, I'm not going to remember the episode number. I'll put it in my intro, but Heather did a amazing breathwork episode with us, you know, months back. And I had a lot of really happy feedback about that episode. It's definitely a fan favorite. So you're well loved.
I'm so curious.
Yeah, I think people just really resonated with your story, with everything that you said, and also with breath work as a spiritual practice. I think people just felt really touched and that you really resonated through a lot of people's experiences. So really great.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm so grateful to know that.
Yeah. So it's so fun to have you back. Today, we will be talking about co-creating with spirit, co-creating with the universe, and we'll sort of get into what that means. And so the way this episode came to be, obviously I've been following Heather's work ever since, since before she was on the podcast, but Heather created an amazing co-creation breathwork immersion. It was 8 weeks, I believe. And let me just set the scene. You posted about it on Instagram and I was like, oh, that sounds so good. Like I had been wanting to experience your work. Then I was like, this seems good. I remember specifically before I clicked the link, I was like, let me just prepare myself for the price, because I was assuming this was going to be like $1,000, you know, like $1,500. I was like, let me just mentally prepare myself that I might not be able to do this right now. And then I just have to mention also the price felt so, so approachable. And I was like, oh, no brainer. I'm doing this, you know? So I did that program. It was 8 weeks with Heather, you know, doing work outside, but meeting once a week and doing these really great breath work ceremonies and everything with you and the group. And I had a lot of movement in that time. I worked a lot with sort of all the things that we talked about in each week. And sort of my big thing with that was I kind of just started saying this thing that was like, you know, drop anything that needs to be dropped for me to be able to like move forward in my goals. And the universe, it really felt like, I don't know, it really felt like I was talking to the universe directly through this program. I think it also really helped me cultivate this really incredible trust in the flow of the universe and just being like, okay, all right, I asked, you listened, let's go. Like what else, you know? So that was sort of a little bit of convoluted way of saying this, your co-create breathwork immersion really was effective for me in a lot of ways. And that is why I want to have you on to sort of talk about how you cultivated this idea and what co-creation is, just like getting into all the good stuff. So that was really long, but yeah.
Don't go over here like ding, 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 like so many avenues to go down. Okay, well, first of all, thank you so much for sharing your experience in that breathwork immersion. It is so beautiful to hear your experience because it's like you had that seed of your intention, the felt sense, the intuitive knowing of, okay, in order for me to create what I know my soul desires, I have to drop some things. And it starts with us being in our power enough to make the first move or the first statement like that. And then trusting that the universe is going to meet us there in the way that is for our highest good, likely in a way that we're not going to expect. And in that way, manifesting is not an individual act. It is a co-creation with God. And that's why I wanted to create this experience, because I honestly felt felt righteously angry that, may I swear? I
Yeah,
forget.
absolutely.
Okay. By the bullshit narratives that we've been fed when it comes to manifestation and what it actually truly is. And that's why I renamed it co-creation, because somewhere along the way, or maybe the whole time, spirit was actually completely removed in spiritual spaces, spaces that would call themselves literally spiritual, the root of what they would say that they're about, being, but really being manifestation tools that were completely ego-driven and would lead people down roads and paths, maybe of manifesting material things, but still feeling at the end a deep lack of purpose and meaning and fulfillment, because we're not bringing the spiritual context into manifestation. And that's why I wanted to offer this breathwork immersion for us all to come together and to come home to that. Because I think we all recognize that somatically in our bodies, when that's communicated to us, we're like, oh yes, there's like a remembrance that settles in. And then we're all on the same team. We're all doing this together. And so that's kind of the seed of why I wanted to offer that for us together and inside that breathwork immersion.
So good. Can you define for us, or like from your definition, what like manifesting slash co-creating is for you?
Yes. Okay. So for me, it begins with the knowing that I am a soul having a human experience. And in my human experience, my soul is here to grow and learn and evolve and learn specific lessons in accordance with my soul's curriculum. And at the same time, I'm also here to express the unique gifts and talents and resources that my soul came here to express and share. And I believe deeply that when we are creating from within, rather from without, not looking outside first, but really going within first, that when we intend to create something that starts from within, from a soul knowing, a soul feeling, a sense, that both things are going to happen in tandem. It's not about getting things. It's not what manifestation's about. And it makes me sad. It makes me so sad that we've gotten so far from what this is about. It's about healing and growing and learning and serving and experiencing. That's what manifestation's about. It's not about getting. And when we think it's about getting, we're going to feel really unfulfilled every time. So to me, that's where it even starts.
Yeah, I think a lot of manifesting that we see on Instagram or TikTok, even in spiritual spaces, you know, there's so many different like little avenues that manifesting can take on the internet. It's like a lot of it is about money, right? And money is, we all need money to live. We live, especially if you're in America, we like live in capitalism. I'm not saying we don't need money, you know, it's just something that we have to do, right? But I just find it really interesting. Like, I don't know, I guess it would be fun for you, I think, to touch on like, what other things can we manifest other than money in our bank account? What are some things that sort of inspire you in this co-creating process that aren't financially based?
Mm-hmm. What I most feel called to say is to pay attention to your life. We're so distracted. We are so distracted by what other people are doing. We're so distracted by Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and all of the apps and watching other people's lives that we forget that literally our answers are right in front of us and even more deeply within us. Like, we aren't in the season of life that we are in by accident. Like, it's on purpose. And if we accept that, and then from that space, like, ask ourselves, like, what is my soul ready to experience? What is my soul ready to embody? What is my soul longing to create in service to humanity? It will meet you where you are right now in this season of your life. And that's a fucking epic seed from which to create.
I love that. I love that so much. Why do you feel, this might be sort of like we've already touched on this a little bit, but why do you feel like co-creating is important for people to sort of pursue or to think about a little bit more?
Well, I certainly don't think it's for everyone, but, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, then it's probably for you. And if it's not, then great. You know, I'm not here to try to convince people to do it, just to speak to people to whom this message is for. If we look at nature, nature does nothing alone. And it is the most sustainable system that has ever existed on this planet. It will sustain and outlive us and has continued to for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And one of the reasons that it is so sustainable is because it is inherently co-creative. Everything is working together. A plant doesn't just grow by itself. It needs the sun. It needs the rain. It needs soil. It needs fertilizer. In many cases, it needs us as humans. And we're all co-creating together. And so we would do well. I always humble myself before nature because it always outsmarts me, to take a page from nature's book and do the same thing with our lives. So it's me as an individual. I have to be in my power enough and in my agency enough to, and in my ego enough, and I mean that in a good way, to say, this is what I want. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is so important to have that sense of self and identity. But if that's all we function from, we are fucked. Because that's when we unintentionally forget that there is an ever-loving presence that, you know, I call God, but, you know, spirit, universe, etc., that wants to partner with you and your angels and your guides, and you can just call on them every step of the way to assist you in that which you're ready to bring forward. And then also telling your people, you know, that's what we talked about in the immersion too, is inviting people into your process of co-creation. We have become a culture of, well, not become, we've been steeped in a culture for a very long time, in white supremacy culture, of individualism. This myth that we're self-made, but literally no one is self-made. No one's self-made. Every entrepreneur who says that they're self-made is full of shit. You're not self-made. You needed technology. That means you needed hundreds, maybe thousands of people to assist you with even getting your message out into the world. You know, and that's just one platform or one service. It's not true. And yet we think that we have to put on this face of like, I did this all by myself. No, you didn't. And that's beautiful, because doing it alone is very lonely. It's also very boring. And I think for those of us that were raised, particularly for those who identify as female, or those who were assigned female at birth, there's just like an extra amount of pressure under the guise of perfectionism to show people that you did it by yourself. And it's not true. So I think if we strip away all of those lies and all of that pressure, what we're left with is the generativity and the truth of co-creation that involves the Holy Trinity of self, source, and your social circles. And that to me is like a mirror of nature. It's like the most sustainable way to truly create in a way that brings you joy and also the inevitable contractions and challenges of life. Yeah.
There's so much good stuff in there. Just write it down and frame it and sell it, because that was just so fantastic. But yes, I think there is this, I really fight against it too. And I think I definitely, you helped me become super aware of it within this program too, that was like, that individualism is so steeped. It's so deeply steeped in so many of us. I think it would be hard to say, especially like, I'm going to come back to that sort of America thing, because that's where I grew up and where I live, obviously. There is just that sort of rugged individualism that has just been ingrained in all of us, that like, for some reason we shouldn't want help, or we shouldn't need help. We shouldn't, like, it's like this so whole huge, if you get really down deep into it, like this whole sort of dispersion of community, right? Like, there's so little, I've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, but like, it is sometimes really hard to find community, especially if it's not within an organized religion. And so, yeah, I don't know. I just love that you touched on that, because that's definitely something that has been like such an interesting lesson for me in the past few years, is like, yeah, absolutely nobody does anything alone. I'm not doing this podcast alone, even though I'm a solo host. Like, somebody invented the microphone. I have a laptop that I worked for somebody else to make the money to be able to buy. I am talking to you, who's doing amazing work and is like, allowing me to pick your brain so that other people can listen to this. Like, this is a network. And I think when we sort of strip away the ego and say, thanks for protecting me, thanks for, you know, trying to help me be this person, and we are just able to say, like, without the ego, that yes, I don't do anything alone, that's so freeing. You know, it's so freeing to just not worry about having to prove yourself as a rugged individual who is self-made, you know. So
preach. I was getting chills the entire time you were talking, and like when you were speaking about being a podcast host and the microphone and the laptop and me and then the people who are going to listen to this, I just kept seeing the root systems of trees, like, and how like everything that you're talking about is like, we're all passing nutrients to each other, or that's how we can choose to experience co-creation. And when we do, it just, it is so good for ourselves and for the planet and for society.
Oh, I just love that so much. So let's sort of get into the, now that we've sort of waxed poetic about this, right? Let's sort of get into the mechanics of this. Like, so somebody's listening, they're like, oh yeah, this sounds so vibey. Like, I love it. And also, yes, it is vibey. And also it is hard. Like, any other sort of manifesting that you're going to hear about, like, co-creation is not, like, I would venture to say that it's not all sunshine and rainbows. So what are sort of the mechanics that you sort of dug into to sort of understand co-creation?
Okay. It starts with you, or me. I'll speak for myself. Number one, it starts with me. I have to claim 100% responsibility for my experience and my choices and my actions and where I place my focus, my direction, and my attention. And when I do that, it's like very Saturnian, you know, astrology-wise. It's like, it's taking full responsibility as an adult. And that is simultaneously terrifying and liberating, all in one breath. But that is where it has to start. If you don't start there, you're going to give your power away. And that also might be part of a lesson that you're here to learn, or a block you're here to clear when you're co-creating, which we'll get to in a few minutes. And that's okay. And it must start with us being clear about what it is we are ready to embody or experience or create. And that maturity, that like claiming responsibility also invites you to have the patience to allow that to come forward rather than trying to force something to come forward. So for example, after I graduated from graduate school in May, and then I started working part-time as a family therapist at Causeway Collaborative in Westport. And I was kind of like in the flow of that. And one day there was just this inner knowing that came forward. It felt like a knowing, and it also was words of like, take on another day at Causeway. And it was so neutral. There was no emotion attached to it. And it was repeating itself over the course of a week. I would say it repeated like 5 times. That's when you know it's coming from your soul. There's nothing outside of you that's like telling you you should do things, and you're thinking in your head, oh, I should do this. It's you're living your life, you're where you are, and you're getting a message that's coming from within that has a neutral charge. I shouldn't say charge, neutral to it. There's no charge. It's a neutrality. And it's repeating itself. And that's where the patience comes in. That's when you know, like, okay, like that's, I'm ready for that. It also could just be this like sudden, like burning knowing. So like I had this burning knowing, you know, last month, it was just like coming up within me. Like I am ready. I'm ready to make a deeper and wider impact. I could feel it. And I didn't know the specifics of what that looked like, but it felt so clear and true. No one told me that. It came from within myself, and I felt it to be true. And even though it was like a burning passion, there wasn't an emotional charge to it. This is where it takes patience and time to learn your intuition too, which I know you have like so much incredible resources. So maybe like linking all that up too. And then how that plays out is going to be in accordance with my soul's curriculum, which there are plenty of lessons that I've learned along the way. I'm happy to share more if you want. Those are two examples of you just living your life, me living my life, and noticing when something comes forward from within that is something I'm ready to actualize in the physical world reality. So you notate that, and then you claim that. And you're like, okay, I am ready to make a deeper and a wider impact. Secondly, that's when I call on spirit. That's when I pray. And to me, prayer is just about being in conversation with spirit. And so spirit, I feel this deep in my soul. I am ready to make a deeper and a wider impact. Show me where to go. Show me what to do. Show me what to say and to whom. I am open, I am ready, and I am willing to do whatever it takes. Whatever that looks like, show me. And then you'll be guided. You will be guided. There will be random action steps you'll be guided to take. Along the way, blocks will come up because this isn't just about me making a deeper and a wider impact. It's also about the lessons that my soul is here to learn. So the deeper and the wider impact is in some way allowing me to use my gifts and talents and service to other people. But it's also about the lessons I'm here to learn. And so along the way, I faced my own blocks and my own barriers and my own soul lessons related to perfectionism, people pleasing, and outsourcing my power, because I am here in this lifetime to teach what I need to learn. I am someone who used to deeply struggle with perfectionism and people pleasing and outsourcing my power. and I've come so far, and I'm so grateful to pass along everything I've learned to other people. And I am still learning and growing and evolving in those areas too. And so this is also what is often missing from modern manifestation teachings. It's like very glossy and like, this is what you do, and like clear your box and say your affirmations. And those are great. They're cute, but they're not the whole story. And sometimes the blocks are going to be like, okay, like this is just like a recognize and reframe type of vibe. But sometimes it's going to bring you to your knees, and it's going to be deeply, deeply challenging. And you're going to be shaken in your fucking boots in a contraction. And that was my experience with this past co-creation that I was being called to bring into form, because it's all about energy. So like I've over the past, so now that was like October 27th. That was, so we're recording this on December 6th. So October 27th is when that knowing that I was ready to make a deeper and a wider impact came forward. And that has been happening. And it's amazing in terms of so much. But, and also, that's energy, right? So if I'm going to expand into that vibrationally, I can't only expand into that energy. I also need to clear all the energy that's blocking me from embodying that. And there was a lot to clear. Holy shit. And there will be another whole layer to clear the next time I'm ready to make a deeper and a wider impact and to expand more. So we have to show up for those lessons. We have to show up for them fully and not victimize ourselves and ask what's wrong with me or think that you're not equipped to handle it. You are. You're in the fire. It's really hard, and you're going to be okay. And you cannot do that shit alone. We need each other. And so as the blocks are clearing, it's turning to the tools and resources and practices that you know that are going to assist you as you're in the distress and the discomfort and the unraveling and the unwinding, and leaning on the supports of your partners, your spouse, your friends, your family, your social circle, your therapist, your coach, your facilitators. Lean on your people and lean on yourself and lean on source every step of the way. And so the blocks are going to come up, and then you clear those. And then you're going to feel like you're in a new state of being that's in more, it's in deeper alignment with your own soul essence. And that's the greatest gift of all, honestly. That's the greatest gift of all. And then, yeah, like cool shit's going to happen on the outside. But when you're doing it this way, like the cool shit on the outside is like nice, but it's just like when you're really here for the fullness of the soul lessons, in addition to how you're here to be of service, what happens on the outside just doesn't hold much weight anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So much in there that I love. And yeah, I think a few things that are coming out of this, I think like the contraction stuff was so, I feel like, I don't know, for some reason that was such an eye opener for me when we were talking about that. And I was like, oh yeah, there cannot be expansion without contraction. And I just felt that was so important to remember. So if you're listening to this and you're in a contraction moment, do not, I mean, you can be afraid if you want to, it's fine. It's a regular emotion, but like, know that you are contracting to expand, or, you know, like there's just so much nuance in this human experience that we're having. And I think, yeah, sometimes modern manifestation, especially with like money manifestation, is just like, open yourself up to the universe and everything will open. And it never speaks of contraction, but it's like a huge part of this life in general, and part of co-creating slash manifesting. And so, yeah, I'm really glad that you touched on that, because I do think that's really, really important. And the other question that I sort of have coming out of this is, like, we talk about, you know, the soul's curriculum, right? And I guess my question is, and obviously you don't have to have like the answer. I totally understand. This is like a big, big question.
I'm
but
certain I don't have the answer.
So if we have some stuff on our soul's curriculum, I don't even know what to use as an example, but like, is it possible that we won't be able to co-create certain things because of our soul's curriculum, if that makes sense?
Okay. So this is highly, highly specific. I also want to say, like, I'm not saying, I just want to be mindful too of like the many identities that we hold in this reality and embody, depending on, you know, race, gender expression, et cetera. And I just want to be clear that I'm not saying that like the harassment that one experiences for their identity, I mean, I'm a queer person myself and very familiar with that experience, is something that God assigned to you. There's free will that we have in this reality. And I feel that some people make really fucking shitty choices with their free will. And I don't believe that that's part of our soul's curriculum. So I just wanted to like state that first.
Yes. Thank you. I think you just worded that better than I ever could, but I completely agree. So yes.
My wife and I have deep dived on this for like years and years, really drilling down and feeling through in our own life experience and connecting with our community and in our friends circles and social circles of like, and so even everything I'm telling you now is a co-creation. This didn't just come from me. And the different identities that our people hold too. So anyway,
what was your question?
My question was, might we not be able to co-create slash manifest things based on some of the things that are in our soul's curriculum?
Maybe. And I think that sometimes our ego gets in the way and we think that something is part of our soul's curriculum, but it's really us trying to get something that we think we need in order to feel worthy or whole and complete. So that's kind of the distinction that I'd offer there. And that I've been there many times myself, and that requires like a depth of tender honesty and gentle, compassionate, often very painful honesty about where we've given our power away. And I think that once we clear that up and are in practice with ourselves about when we are giving our power away, because it's just how our society operates, then it's much easier to come back home and to see that which is in accordance with our soul's curriculum.
Cool. Thanks for touching on that. I think about that a lot. I like, especially with all the manifestation content, I'm like, what if I like, I don't know, what if there's just things that I want? And this is also part of co-creating too. I think we talked about in that sort of immersion, like the letting go of it too. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. I just think there's such a fine balance between the letting go and like taking action. It's just something that I think about so often. So yeah, I guess, do you want to talk a little bit about sort of the letting go part of co-creation?
What about that? Like, is there a specific example?
Yeah, I guess like what are,
mind?
Yeah, I guess. So I was listening to another podcast. I think I'll just use this as an example because I just think it's really interesting. You know, she always wanted to be an author. She always wanted to have a book written. And she tried pretty hard throughout her life to make it happen. And she finally was like, okay, maybe this just isn't for me. And then within, I want to say like a year or two, she was reached out to write a book about, you know, this or that. And I, first of all, I just love that story. And second, I think it really illustrates that sort of letting go part. And I guess, I don't know, I just sort of want to get, pick your brain and get your thoughts on, I don't know why that is or what that means or just sort of your general thoughts on it.
So I'll speak for myself. I would never want to speak for others around this. When I forget who I am, I want other people and things to make me feel better. When I remember who I am and I know who I am, I don't need shit. I'm good. And I think that's truly, I know that sounds overly generalized and simplified. And I feel that's often where it comes back to. So for myself, like I believe like deep in my soul and in my being that my purpose is to evolve and grow and learn in all the ways my soul is meant to, and to be myself, to uncover my true nature and to like radiate that. But like that can happen and occur in a multitude of ways. Like, I love to write as well, but I'm not attached to what that looks like. I'm open to be used by God to be an instrument of love and healing and using all of my gifts, but that's also not why I'm here. Like, I'm not here to, and this requires like a deep, like, this is, by the way, everything I'm speaking about is like 11, 12 years of like devoted practice of breaking down my own ego constructs of what I thought mattered and was important. And what I've learned is, and I feel so liberated and freed by, is becoming something that this society would deem respectable, worthy, whatever, is has nothing to do with me feeling fulfilled. And so like the level of detachment is almost terrifying. I can feel like for a lot of people, it's like, what? You're saying like none of it matters? Yeah. Like, because ultimately we are vibrational, energetic beings. And before the words that we, you know, speaking to the author example, before the words that I, you know, that I write on the page happen, or the podcast episode comes out on Spotify and iTunes and everywhere it's distributed, is my energetic frequency. And if I'm prioritizing that first and being in a place of devotion to my soul's lessons and devotion to like embodying who I came here to be, that is ultimately all that matters, because that's what's healing to self and source and humanity. But it requires us a level of humor, a level of humility that also recognizes so like you're really not that special.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know. I think it might be the Sagittarius in my chart. I am a Sag sun and I have a lot of other Sagittarius planets as well. But I have always had this like recurring thought that it's just like none of this fucking matters. And that is fucking awesome, you know? And I've seen it's so funny. Like I had those thoughts a lot. And then once I sort of started seeing way more astrology memes, that was always like the Sagittarius vibe. And I was like, it really hits the nail on the head. Like it just feels freeing to me. I know like for some other people that might feel really like heavy and that might feel like, what the fuck? I don't know. I just kind of love that. And obviously like I'm a human. I still get caught up in stuff that I definitely feel like matters. But when I have these like really awesome zoom out moments, I'm like, oh, you know, in like such a great way. There's so much freedom and like none of this fucking matters. So I appreciate that your sort of thought on that sort of detachment moment. And I also like that you're sort of talking about, like, in terms of the timeline of co-creating, this isn't, I don't know that we would even say this is I mean, maybe things can happen for you really fast. Some people are like just really in the flow, but some things can take years. So I'm wondering if you can sort of tell us about some experiences that you've had personally in co-creating in your own life and maybe some of the sort of loose timelines around that type of stuff.
Yes, I can. I'm in it right now. So I don't want to say specifically what I'm in because I'm still in it and I want to respect like the sacredness of that. But I'm in something now that I am co-creating that has to do with the deeper, wider impact thing. And it's completely behind the scenes. No one but my wife and my inner circle knows what it is. And I am in the foundation phase. I have to build a really generative, solid foundation that has really good structure and really kick-ass strategy, which is a word I used to like resist so hard because I thought it meant manipulation. But now I have a completely different understanding of the word strategy, and it's actually a beautiful thing that helps everybody feel clear and safe in a container that someone creates. And it's going to take as long as it takes because I'm not interested in speed. That's what the individualistic, capitalistic rhetoric wants us to think, that faster is better, speedier is better. No, it's not. Sustainability is the absolute best way to create anything, because what's the point of creating something fast if like you can't like enjoy every single phase and season of that co-creation coming to life? So the behind the scenes phase, you know, that I'm in now, that's not seeing the light of day, that's mostly prioritizing structure and systems and processes and editing and all the things, is no less gorgeous and brilliant and beautiful than when this thing is shared with the world in a seemingly, you know, shiny way or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And I think that we have to have that. We have to, you know, come back home to our maturity, that there's seasons of that our co-creation is going to go through, and we have to value each season and give each season our attention and our devotion and our nurturance and our presence. And that's what's going to fuel us and fulfill us. Otherwise, we're going to build something that's not sustainable and it will fall apart and we're going to have to start over, or it's going to backfire in a way that we're going to just have to learn some soul lessons along the way, which may be part of your curriculum, and that's okay. It was part of mine. So I always come back to nature. Like, your co-creation has different seasons that you're going to go through, and each season is going to grow you as an individual, and it's going to be beautiful for your co-creation, and it's going to take the time that it takes.
Lovely. Well, I'm so excited for whatever you're sort of building and jamming on right now. I can't wait to see whenever that comes to life, whatever that is. So cool. Very, very exciting.
Yes. One more thing. Just like, it's okay to just really let it be fully like complex and messy. And like when you're in that contraction space, like it will be difficult. And then when you move out of the contraction space, let it be easy, right? So it's like that both and. When it's hard, let it be hard. And when it's easy, let it be easy. And let both be important, and not one is better than or less than the other.
Oh, yeah, such a good point. And that's sort of actually bringing up just another sort of quick question I have. I think when a lot of manifestation talks about, you know, like really being high vibe and like all this stuff. And like, obviously we're going to have human emotions that come day to day that feel negative or like feel like frustration or sadness or worry. Like, I don't know, what are your like, what's your opinion on how that can affect the co-creation process? Like, I don't know, like, are you accidentally creating something like a negative feedback loop for you in your co-creation? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't like it.
I don't like it at all.
I don't think it's helpful in any way, shape, or form. Rather than, because then if we're only focused on being quote unquote high vibe, then we're actually constantly in a place of self-judgment. And that's a horrible place to function from. I functioned from that place for years and I'm completely done with that. So I personally feel it comes back to being present to your life now and where you are now and your experience now and meeting yourself there. And, you know, like if you do wake up in a, you know, for example, I woke up in a cranky mood on Monday and I was just like, I don't feel like lifing today. I didn't say, you shouldn't feel that, Heather. You need to be vibing high or you're not going to make the impact. That's insane. That's literally insanity. You're going to literally, I don't use that word lightly, you will drive yourself mad. It's okay. You don't feel like lifing right now. Tell me more. It's a part of me. And I let the part of me speak. I'm feeling really tired. And I just, okay, so what do you need? I just need to spend 15 extra minutes with my cat on my lap and my cup of coffee. Okay. So let's spend 15 minutes on the chair with the cat on your lap and your cup of coffee. And then let's agree that it's not helpful to take this attitude into the rest of your day. And let's do the best that we can to be grateful for this day. That's called parenting yourself. So I'm more about parenting oneself than and being in relationship with oneself rather than focusing on some state of being that is judgmental and perfectionistic and unattainable.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for giving your opinion on that. I love that. Cool. Well, this has been such a fantastic conversation. I have just loved every second of it, obviously. So I'll just ask one last one, and that is, how can someone who's listening right now open up their door a little bit more to their natural co-creating abilities?
What is happening in your life right now? How would you characterize the season of your life right now? If you look at each area of your life, what is happening? Not your judgment of what's happening, but look at what's happening. And from that space, ask yourself and spirit, what am I ready to experience? What am I ready to embody? What am I ready to manifest in the physical plane and service to humanity? And see what stirs up.
Amazing. Heather, where can people find you? Will you be doing your co-creation breathwork immersion again? Give us the info.
Okay. So if you would like me to facilitate another co-creation breathwork immersion, then I need to know that there's interest. So if there is, send me a direct message on Instagram and just tell me that you listen to the podcast and that it's something you'd really love to experience. And if there's enough interest, then I will totally do it again. You can find me at heatherwaxman.com, W-A-X-M-A-N. I'm Heather Waxman on Instagram and also on YouTube. And I have a weekly YouTube offering called Soul Sessions that you can receive. And I offer one-to-one coaching. And as far as virtual group experiences, that is under construction for the time being. But I'm just grateful to connect with you in any way that you're called to connect.
Amazing. Heather, thank you so, so much for coming on here and sharing all your co-creation wisdom.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you so much.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you love the podcast, don't forget to rate and leave a review wherever you listen. Follow me on Instagram at Opening the Door Podcast and visit my website, openingthedoorpodcast.com, to explore my reading offerings, digital downloads, and more. Plus, subscribe to my email list to be the first to know about OTD news and offerings.